Blessing to be in the house of the Lord, my friends. I hope this morning's message would be a blessing and encouragement to you. Title of this morning's message, Fully Filled, is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, specifically the filling of the Holy Spirit. And pray for myself, because I don't know, the Lord brought to my mind an illustration I'd like to share with you as part of the message today that I hope would help us visualize the ministry of the Holy Spirit and also the spiritual state of man. I did rehearse it numerous times in my mind, and so hopefully I don't drop the ball or spill the bottle. You see what I mean here? And so hopefully this would be a blessing, not a distraction. But why don't we do this? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start there, and then we'll go to the Lord, ask for God's prayer. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start there. And then verse 18. Ephesians 5, and in verse 18, the Word of God says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing and a joy to be here this Lord's Day Sunday. Father, we thank you for the grace, Father, that it's only by your grace in giving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we can be saved. Help us to receive your grace by faith. And Father, this formula has never changed. And so, Father, help us always trust in you, believe in your precious word, and receive it in obedience with faith, Lord. And so what a blessing that we can be here even today. Father, we pray if there's any wayward soul who's not saved, Father, we pray even today that they once and forever trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, to be born again by the Spirit of God. I pray even now, Father, as we think of the message ahead, to be filled fully with the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we ask for your blessing even this morning on the message. May our hearts be in tune with your word. And Father, give me grace and mercy, Father, and that you be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. And like I shared, I thought of this for a while. And I'm going to set up here. It's probably taking a few seconds to bring my props up to with me here. And so, let me get my chair. We'll start here. Somewhere here. And you might be wondering, what am I doing? I'm wondering the same thing. All right, so so I'd like to share just an illustration to give us a visual, visual observation of man, the spirit that is within man, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and how God can bless and use us for His glory. So we're going to start, actually, don't have to turn your Bibles there, but we're going to start all the way back, and I'm going to grab this guy here. Now, I did not pick this. It says Pure Life. I'm not advertising for them, but it does fit from a spiritual context. But anyway, this is Adam. All right, so we're going all the way back to Genesis. So this is Adam, praise God. The first man that God made, of course, created by God in a state of innocent perfection, made in God's image to have dominion over the earth. So that's Adam, Mr. Adam. Now, he was lonely. And so God gave him a help meet. And so this is from his rib. I'm just going to do this, and out she pops. Okay, so this is Eve. Okay, so now we have Adam and Eve. All right, so this, yeah, that's great. And so the idea is she was made from Adam's rib to be a help meet to him. And together they serve God, and they live happily ever after. The end, right? No. Sadly, what happened? They sinned. God told them not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of course, in their pride, in their sin, in their lust, in disobedience. Of course, Satan tempted them, but the sin was theirs. I mean, they could say no to Satan, but Satan tempted them, and so they, well, let's just do it. Okay, so they sinned and they disobeyed God. They ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And remember, what did God say to, well, it doesn't say to them, God said it to Adam before he made Eve. And so Adam should have instructed Eve the same. It doesn't tell us whether he did or not. Chances are not. But what did God tell Adam would happen to him the day he ate of that tree? Thou shalt surely what? Die. Okay, so they eat of that tree. Well, sadly, I'm going to put Eve, well, I'm going to put it right here for now. And so sadly, they eat of that tree and they die. So I don't know if you can hear the crack, the crackling of the lid of the top here. There, you heard that pop sound? Okay, so he ate of that tree, and that you can hear that cracking. It kind of reminded me of the innocence that Adam had was broken. It was shattered. As I opened the top of this water bottle, you know, his eyes were open to sin. And so now he knew what sin is, and he died. And so I'm going to do this here. All right, make sure I don't make a mess up here. Okay. All right, let me try this. Okay, so he died the day that he ate of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He died. That's his spirit gone. Now, he was still a soul that was alive, but his spirit gone. Adam died. And so did who? So did Eve. She ate it as well. Her innocency, gone. Hear that crack? It broke. Her eyes opened to sin. She ate as well. She died while she ate and gave to her husband, but they both died. And then, they both got, if I can find it here, okay, I'll get to it. They both got cursed, right? They both got cursed. We know the curse. And so I'm going to have my scissors here. And just to symbolize that, okay, just humor me a bit. I'm going to just remove the label, okay? So they don't look glorious anymore. They got no label. Pure life? Nope. Now it's a cursed life. So she's cursed. And where's my Adam? Here he is. He's cursed. So now they have the cursed life. Yep. Okay, so Adam, Eve, now spiritually dead, cursed life, no more labels. And then ever since that day, day after day, month after month, they started what? Dying. They died spiritually the day they disobeyed God, and then they started dying physically that day. Slowly, now they lived hundreds of years, but they still died. They was slow, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until one day they died. And ever since then, the only offspring that they can produce are other dead, cursed bottles. That's the only offspring they can produce. Dead, crumpled up bottles begetting other dead, crumpled up bottles. That's all it is. Very sad. Very tragic. Originally, if you think back of one of the original bottles made in the image of God, how far they've fallen. Now, I'm going to fast forward here because we're going to come up to the present day. And so, all the way till today, man is still born spiritually dead. We're still born in sin, and we're still born lost as a goose, right? We need to be saved. And so, we're going to have three guys here. And for sake of illustration, let's name them. And so, what should we call our first guy? Could be a name of someone here. Might seem awkward. Maybe a name of someone who's not here. Any suggestions? Any names? Peter? All right. Someone said Peter. Let's go with Peter. So, first guy, Peter. Now, this is, you know, fast forward to 2025, okay? So, you have three grown men. Peter's the first one. Let's say this guy's Peter. Now, the names have to just personalize it a little bit more. Okay, let me just give you a little spoiler here. Out of this three, one gets saved, and the two die and go to hell. So that's tough, and you kind of choose a name. Okay, who's the next one?
Jane.
J-A-N-E?
Yeah.
Okay, yep, we have a Jane. And so,
yeah,
that's fine. Okay, I'm just writing it here. So we have Jane. We'll say she's the one that gets saved. How about we'll do that one? All right, so we have Jane. If I can get this off, okay. All right, so we have Jane over here. And then one more name. Oh. Kyler, go ahead, son.
Liam.
Your brother? Oh, boy, that's... Whew. All right. This is in good fun, okay, Liam? Okay. So we have Liam up here. All right, so we have three guys, three grown, two guys, one girl, Jane, but three adults. Okay, so you have here, and so just because of Adam and Eve, throughout history, it's just crumply, empty bottles begetting more crumply, broken, empty bottles. And then, sadly, in fact, we have one out of three here that's going to get saved, so that's a blessing. Although in reality, I don't know if it's actually one out of thousands. I don't know. But here you have Liam and Peter living their whole lives. They might accomplish great things. They might win the Powerball. They might be a pro athlete. They might have untold wealth. But if they never get saved at the end of their life, and sadly, most people, their whole lives, from birth till death, they never change. They're just like this. And what happens? At the end of their life, judge for yourselves. If you see one of these lying around your home, what do? Recycle. Who said recycle? Come on. Okay. All right. Brownie points. Okay, but okay. Garbage. You get the idea. Who's the first one? Liam dies. Garbage. Peter dies. Garbage. And the garbage goes, gets picked up by the garbage truck, goes to the landfill. There was a landfill on the south side of Jerusalem called the Valley of Hinnom. And that is where the word Gehenna, or hell, is taken from. Where that it was a continual heap of refuse. Continual, they will always be burning the garbage. And so that's how they got rid of the garbage, kept burning it. There was so much garbage, it was just nonstop burning. And that is where Jesus draws the illustration that just like that Valley of Hinnom, where they will continually burn all the garbage from Jerusalem. That is how hell is like, where the fire is not quenched, and the worm, their worm dieth not, okay? That belongs to the valley. And so that is the destination of all who are never saved. They are born spiritually dead, and then when they die, they go to a devil's hell, okay? I mean, this is so sad. And so it's more than just the garbage, because the garbage is going to go to the landfill, and there's going to be eternal burning. However, Jane, hey, praise God, by God's grace, gets saved. She hears the gospel. Yes, she is spiritually dead. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that dead in trespasses and sin. So she's spiritually dead, but guess what? Her soul is eternal. And the soul can respond to the gospel only by the power of God, because that's the power of the gospel. So Jane gets saved. And so just for sake of illustration, okay, now when she gets saved, the Holy Spirit regenerates her. And, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma, breath, wind. And so just for illustration purpose, when she gets saved, okay, I inflated as best as I could. Okay, so she's reinflated, she's regenerated. The Holy Spirit indwells her. Indwells, it's a fancy, you know, Bible word, but basically it means the Holy Spirit dwells in her. So, indwelling, okay? And so, all right, where is my, I'm going to pour it over my pot here. Okay, I'm going to try not to spill. Oh, wow. Okay. This would, in my mind, this went a lot quicker. Okay, that's good. So Jane gets saved. She gets regenerated, in this case, inflated. The Holy Spirit comes in, indwells her, and seals her. Seals her so that no matter what happens, now for sake of purpose, I'm going to put my finger on the top here just in case, okay? So no matter how hard life is, the storms of life, she gets battered around, she loses her job, loved one dies, I mean, you name it. No matter what happens in life, I think I can take it off. Yeah, it's good. Okay, see, okay, so she's sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit will never leave her nor forsake her. He is in her forever. That's a blessing. Praise God. However, it's not the same as being filled with the Holy Spirit. When she is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, she is saved forever. Once indwelled, always indwelled. Once saved, always saved. However, God can still fill her with his power of the Holy Spirit. And the scripture uses that terminology, the filling of the Holy Spirit. How? Through her obedience to God, through her growth in the Word of God, through her prayer, through submitting to what the Word of God says. That is how she gets filled by the Holy Spirit. I want to share this. And so, well, better stay back over here. Even though I didn't spill, but okay. And so, praise God, she grows in a walk with God. She's obedient. She's faithful. She's serving. She's, you know, going to church, she's praying, reading a Bible, she's ministering, she's being witness for God. She's yielded to his Holy Spirit. And that's about as high as I can go. Boy, it's right at the top. Okay. So, by the grace of God, just as Ephesians 5:18 tells us, she is not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but she is filled with the Spirit, filled to the brim. Now, if I try to squeeze it, I can't really squeeze it, right? Because it's filled. It doesn't bend as easy, not as squishy, doesn't give in so much because she is filled with the Spirit of God. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, turn with me. Luke chapter 4. Let's go to verse 1. Luke chapter 4, let's go to verse 1. So what happens when someone is full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost? Well, Jesus Christ is our example. Let's go to verse 1 of Luke chapter 4. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Now, what happened in Jordan? Well, if you go back with me, chapter 3, and then verse 21, it says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. Now Jesus Christ, now baptism doesn't save anyone. Baptism doesn't wash away any sin. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And he was baptized not to wash away his sin. He had no sin. But he was baptized in obedience to the Father and to begin his ministry. And so that was his what his whole point was, to start his ministry. And so look at verse 22. When that happened, when he followed the Lord, his Father, God the Father, in obedience to God's will, says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. When we obey God, we please God. When we obey God, we bring joy to Him. When we obey God, His Holy Spirit starts to fill us. The more we yield to God and obey Him, the more He fills us with His power to do His will, okay, to execute His will. And so when our lives are full, now again, I want to just use the, I mean, I don't have time to fill up all these bottles, okay, but the idea is if we are saved, the Holy Spirit has regenerated and He indwells us. So all Christians are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, but not all. In fact, if I have to guess, maybe few are full of the Holy Ghost. If you look at chapter 4, verse 1, I'm going to read the second half. Now that Jesus is full of the Holy Ghost and was what? Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. My friend, if you are not full of the Holy Ghost, it will be nigh impossible for God to lead you by His Spirit. If you are full, you can be led. If you are not full and God tries to lead you, and I'm speaking against myself too, we are going to be like Jonah. God says, go to Nineveh. Preach to that city. And Jonah like, actually, I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'm going to go all opposite. Okay? If we are not full of the Holy Ghost, we would be tempted. Well, either we won't even obey to begin with, like Jonah. Or if we do end up in the wilderness, when Satan comes to tempt, what's going to happen? We're going to fall. We're going to fall into lust. We're going to fall into sin. It's going to be Adam and Eve all over again because we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But when we are full of the Holy Ghost, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when Satan comes knocking, we'll be prayed up, we'll be read up, we'll say, thus saith the Lord, it is written, and we won't give in to temptation. That is the desire that God has for you and I, and not just the desire from Ephesians 5:18, it is a commandment to Christians to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oftentimes, however, sadly, what happens to you and I, instead of filling ourselves with the Holy, well, God does it through obedience and faith, okay? But instead of doing that, what do? I sin. Now, this is the messy part, so bear with me, okay? I'm going to put Jane right here. I got some rocks and dirt right here. Now, these are... You can picture these of the pebbles from the world, okay? Or the sins of the world represented by these rocks and pebbles, some dirt in here. Now, how am I going to do this? Okay, right here. Hopefully I won't have to use this towel. Okay, so here, come up center here. So, unfortunately, when we sin, when we give in to the flesh, when our flesh, with the lust that's in our flesh, when we yield to it, we produce sin. And that sin, all right, I'm going to see this. See if I can do this here. I'm going to keep putting all this sin, and here's the thing about sin, not only is it gross and destructive, but it is also addicting. The more we sin, the more we want to sin. And so I'm going to keep poor Jane. She's kind of caught up in some sin and can't say no to it. And so keeps on sinning. As the sin goes in, what happens to the filling of the Holy Spirit? Can you see what's happening? It's kind of dribbling down the side here. The more the rocks go in, the more the water comes out. I don't know how far, maybe last one, just for sake of illustration. Okay. Okay. All right, now I've got my mess here. I'm going to use my towel. Okay. Where did I put it? I'm going to leave that here. Okay. All right. Here it is. Okay. And so, at a distance, we might say, well, yeah, hey, she's still full to the brim. But we know, now just assume I just kept going, okay, for sake of time I stopped. But let's just assume that this rocks and rocks and rocks and rocks and rocks build up full of sin. She might be full, but it's not full of the Holy Ghost. It's a life full of sin. And I can close the lid, the top back on, and I can say, well, look, she's still indwelled. But, well, of course she's still indwelled. It doesn't matter how much rocks you have in here. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It won't be parched. It won't be dry. No matter how many rocks are in here, there's still going to be the Holy Ghost is indwelling. He still indwells you forever. But now that life of a Christian is very low on Holy Spirit power. Still saved, but filled with sin. And let me just say this. who would like to drink this? It's good water. It's got bad rocks in it. But the water didn't change. I mean, it got murky, okay? The idea is this. If there's sin in our life, we cannot be an effective witness for God. I mean, I can know the truth, and I can share the truth, but if I'm living in sin, the message is true, but the messenger can mar the message. And if someone tells me that Jesus Christ is Lord, but they're living like he's not, I'm like, well, I don't think he is. You're sure not living like it. If there's no Holy Spirit power in our life, this is how, sadly, many Christians are today. Now, here's the wonderful thing of God's grace. If we ever get into this predicament, as a child of God, and this doctrine only applies to Christians, it's the 1 John 1:9 doctrine, amen. If we ever get into this predicament, if we desire to repent, if we desire to turn our life over and give it back to the Lord, guess what he'll do? Let's turn there. And I'm going to put Jane up here so we can see her more clearly here. Okay, so let's go to 1 John 1:9. Towards the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 1 and then verse 9. Let's see, I thought I had one. Oh, did I leave it? Okay. So 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. So the if is on us. And so Jane, maybe she comes to a point in her life and she realizes, wait, this sin is not, what am I doing? She wakes up like, God, I don't want this. Help. Now she's saved. And she has a relationship that's eternal with her Father in heaven. That, Lord, I need you. I don't want this life. And by the way, remember the Holy Spirit that indwells all believers? When we add all that mud and junk in it, what does it do to him? It grieves him. It grieves him because he lives in us. So when I add all these sins and just heap mouthful after mouthful living in sin and flesh, it grieves the Holy Spirit who indwells me, indwells us. And so praise God, Jane gets under conviction. You know, she knows she's guilty before God and she's not living up the way that she ought to be as a Christian. And so she confesses her sins that, yes, I'm Lord, I'm sorry, I did this, I don't want to do this. Please. Please help me. What does God do? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So for sake of illustration, I'm not gonna re-pour the whole thing. I thought I had another bottle here maybe I put it in here. Oh, yes, I did. Okay. Okay. And so because of her faith and confessing her sin to God, this is what God does to her. He cleanses her. He cleanses her. It's a work of God, not of us. We can't do it. It's what God does. But what God wants us to do is to confess. If we confess it, Lord, I'm so sorry. If you mean it, he will cleanse you of, look at what it says, all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter how many pebbles are in there. Doesn't matter how filthy she was. She's clean. Doesn't mean she got saved again. She's always saved. She always had the indwelling Holy Spirit. But now she's clean. She's cleansed. And when she's clean and cleansed, God can use her. I mean, this is. I just grabbed it from the. I'll drink this, right? I mean, it's good. Praise the Lord. And the testimony of one with that has been cleansed by God's forgiveness, that is a wonderful thing. What happens? God can use us. God can use us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to verse 15. We're going to go up to verse 18, our main text, and then keep going. But when we are cleansed, forgiven, by God's grace, filled with the Spirit of God, look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Someone who is full of the Holy Ghost is keenly aware how life is like a vapor. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Jane gets it. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, our personal walk with God is where it ought to be, where God wants us to be. And so verse 15 to 18 is our personal walk with God, and she is keenly aware of how short time is. I got to redeem it. There's a work to be done. And then it overflows beyond her to other Christians, to other people. You're going to see it applied to the church and even the home, family, and marriage. Speaking to yourselves, now this is once you are filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 18, speaking to yourselves, plural now, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Can you imagine? I just bought a 12-pack, okay? But can you imagine if there's thousands of these bottles filled to the brim with the Holy Ghost, praising God? That's a wonderful thing. That's awesome. Too many times, it's half deflated, twisted bottles. Now, they got some Holy Spirit in them because they're sealed and God indwells them. But they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Just playing church. Playing Christian. But imagine just how wonderful it would be if all these bottles are just praising God, as it says here, okay? Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so these are Holy Spirit bottles, okay, people. And so they willingly do what God wants them to do, okay? Not grudgingly, not bitter about it. They're joyfully serving. And then church is going well. Home and marriage. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. A spouse who is Holy Spirit filled is going to be a wonderful godly spouse. Guaranteed. Now, I get it. Paul is referring to the relationship of the church and Christ, the heavenly bridegroom. That's what he's preaching here. But he's using the husband-wife relationship as the example, okay? So that's what he's using. And so for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, we're not off the hook. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Not just love the church as the church loves Christ, but love the church as Christ loved the church. Love the wife as Christ loved the church. In other words, husbands, love the wives more, right? Husbands, love the wife first. Love the wife more. That's how Christ loved his church. In fact, all the way down, just for sake of time, I won't read all those verses, but these are very powerful verses. And then verse 33, the last verse of this chapter. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And this cannot happen unless both spouses are filled with the Holy Ghost. It impacts my personal walk with God. It impacts my relationship with other brethren. It impacts back in the home and family. Final thought, then I'll move on from the husband-wife part here. I've heard it asked. Yes, we can say that the wife needs to submit to the husband. That's what God commands. And the husband is to love the wife. That's what God commands. But just a food for thought. Husbands. Am I a husband worth submitting to? And wives, are you a wife worth dying for? Oh, me. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit of God when we are filled with the power of God. Let's go to Acts. One more reference here. This is going to be Stephen, because God tells us he was full of the Holy Ghost when he did this. So let's go to Acts chapter 7. This is right before Stephen dies. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. He preaches a wonderful message. which, by the way, gets rejected. He gets stoned and killed. And so just because people reject you doesn't mean you have no Holy Spirit power. In fact, oftentimes it shows that you have the power of God. People don't like it. And so don't say Stephen's ministry was a failure. In fact, in chapter 6, he was chosen as one of the deacons because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. People rejected him. And so let's go to chapter 7. Let's go to verse 55. And so this is right before he gets killed. It says, "But he," that Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Hallelujah. My friends, when you have the fullness, when you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, don't just settle for His indwelling. You get that when you're saved. Desire His filling as well, okay? And so when you are filled to the full by the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit, you can do the work of God, even though you might be rejected, okay? You can do the work of God with power, and even though there might be hardships, persecutions, and trials in your life, you will see God and the glory of God and Jesus. You'll see them. Even though there's darkness all around you in the worst ways. Of course, he gets killed right here. We know that. Now, here's another wonderful illustration. And so say Jane here, she decides to be a missionary. And she goes to some foreign field and she shares the gospel and then she gets killed. She gets killed. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go to verse 1. Now, the Bible calls these plastic bottles here, it refers to it as a tabernacle, meaning a tent that's temporary. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go to verse 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house," and so in this case, Jane with her in her water bottle, "of this tabernacle," meaning a tent that is pitched, "will be quickly put down, it is as opposed to a permanent building," okay, or a stone building, "it is just a tent, a tabernacle, "were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This is speaking about Jane's glorified body. All right, hang on here. "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Yes, this, the Holy Spirit of God seals us, but you know, there's still bumps and bruises. I mean, you still take a beating as we roll through life, okay? There's still hurt. "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. God has a plan for us. Even if this body is martyred and stoned and decapitated or crucified, God has a plan for our body." Verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." Anyone have bumps and aches? We all do. "Being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God." Remember when Jane first got saved? Who regenerated her? God. The Holy Spirit regenerated her. Amen. He has a plan. He regenerated her. He indwells her. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us is our what? Earnest. Here's a down payment for our resurrected, glorified body to come. Okay, just hang on here. Who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And so just like Stephen was martyred, when Jane dies, I'm going to pop the lid here. This is just for demonstration purposes. All right. So, I was able to find a Yeti. This is my daughter's. You know, Gracie is not home, so I could use it. But these are pretty pricey. That's a little cheap old plastic, you know, I think it was $4, $3-something for 12, okay? I'm just going to open this. Oh, it's a lot smaller than I thought. Okay. Does this open? Oh, wait, never mind. Okay, all right. And so, the Holy Spirit that indwells us, same Holy Spirit, different body. On that glorious day. Now, just imagine keeps going, okay? The idea, okay? You get the point. We should stay here. Now Jane's a Yeti. No, I'm just saying. She's got her new glorified body. This was Stephen. When his body was broken and bruised and stoned, God will give him a glorified body that will not be corrupted, that's eternal. Now, I know this is not, okay? I'm just using metaphorically, okay? So the idea is this, it won't sin. There's no corruption. It's immortal. And so the glorified body that awaits all the saints, same Holy Spirit in there, that God will be glorified. They won't just be glorified with God, they'll be glorified in God. God in them, the believers, the Gentiles, the hope of glory. That's all the showing I have. I'm just saying, don't be. Now this was the old Adam and Eve, okay? Lord willing, but the idea is, if you're not saved, you got to be saved. You got to be saved. God will regenerate you, and then He will indwell you, and He will seal you. That's step one. Step two, once you are saved, don't settle just for being indwelt by God and then living in sin and just be pretty filthy like here. Right? Remember this? Let's purpose to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Pray. Pray for God's filling. Let's go to Luke. We will end here. Luke chapter 11. And I think you know where I'm going. Luke chapter 11. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and shall be opened unto you. Not carnal things that God has no desire for us to covet, but Himself. Let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And the Bible says this, Luke 11, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You got to ask. Do you believe this verse? It starts with faith. Do you believe this? When Jesus is saying that if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, He'll give it to you. He'll give Him to you. Do you believe this? You have to believe it because it has to be by faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. And whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. Okay, so do you believe this? If you believe it, ask the Lord. Lord, I don't want to be just some wimpy, crackling, half-filled, half-empty Christian. I want to be filled with the power of God, so I can see miracles in my life. I can be a witness for you. I can testify to you. When sin comes and Satan comes a knocking, I will live that victorious Christian life. I'm full of the power of God. If you desire that, ask of God. He will give Himself to you. The Holy Spirit of God will fill you to the brim. What about my rocks and my dirt and my junk in me? Confess it to the Lord. Turn from it. He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, my friends. If we but obey and trust in faith, we cannot lose. It's when I don't, I get myself in trouble. But what a challenge. May we desire to be filled to the full with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord. I just thank you for this time. Help us to consider just how fleeting time is and how much we truly need you. I pray, Father, that you be glorified in our lives and we do confess our sinfulness to you. I thank you, Father, for the cleansing power, Lord, of your grace and your mercy. I can't explain it. I just know that it's a work of God, that you do it. That as filthy as I am, the scripture tells us that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is, wow. Help me to be filled by your presence and your power, Lord, that we ask in prayer that you would supply all the sufficiency of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed as the piano starts.